The commission that operates Michigan State Capitol Building in Lansing yesterday put off a decision about firearms on Capitol premises after a protest last spring drew noisy and heavily armed observers to the legislature's gallery. Lawmakers from both parties and some Capitol staffers expressed concerns about the status quo. In lieu of a decision, the commission has decided to arrange a meeting with House and Senate leaders to discuss options. Sarah Anthony was one of the lawmakers who spoke out about concerns. She represents the very land where the Capitol lies and the rest of House District 68 in Lansing. Representative Anthony, welcome back to Stateside. How are you holding up?
I'm holding up okay. You know, it's 138 days now since we last had armed gunmen storm the Capitol building without any action from our Capitol Commission. So, you know, frustrated about that issue, but still working hard on other issues. So we have to kind of move forward despite some of the lack of action on that front.
You testified before the state's Capitol Commission asking them to move forward with plans to try to put some restrictions on carrying at the Capitol. Can you explain what you told them?
Well, you know, I was a little frustrated because by the time I was able to speak, which was during public comment, they had already made the decision not to act during the meeting. They decided that, you know, despite having a, you know, Attorney General's opinion from both Bill Schuette, the former AG, as well as the current Attorney General, Dana Nessel, as well as other legal opinions and studies, that they still did not decide to act on banning firearms in the Capitol. And so I was just frustrated. And I tried to remind them of what happened on April 30th of this year and how many of us continue to go into that Capitol building and feel unsafe because there has just been a lack of action on ensuring the safety of the men and women who work there, as well as, you know, folks who tour the Capitol. Folks have articulated to me, many of whom are my constituents who work in the building, have just said, you know, something has to happen. Something has to happen to ensure our safety in this building. So the inaction of the Capitol Commission was really frustrating yesterday.
This is a case of a supercharged political topic going before a body that would like to see itself as apolitical. Do you think that there are other ways to address the subject of guns in the Capitol building other than leaving it in the hands of the Capitol Commission?
You know, and that's the conflict for me. I don't see this as a political issue. If I had chosen to run for city council in my community and worked in City Hall in Lansing, I would have some sense of safety because when I go into City Hall, there's no guns allowed. If I decided a career in law and was practicing in the Hall of Justice, just a couple minutes away from the state capitol, I feel as though I would be more safe because they don't allow firearms. And yet in this Capitol building, it becomes a political issue. And I don't see, you know, ensuring the safety of the men and women who work in that building as a political issue. And that's what's been so frustrating to me, that it has become political. And this Capitol Commission should not be a political body. It should be a body that governs the operations of a government building. In this case, the building being the state capitol.
You know, since the last time we spoke several months ago, gun ownership and the question of who is allowed to display weapons in public has come into stark relief nationally. There was a couple in St. Louis who pointed guns at Black Lives Matter protesters and subsequently spoke at the Republican National Convention. There was a 17-year-old vigilante with an AR-15 who killed two protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And these were white people who were praised in some conservative circles. The current debate around gun ownership, how do you see it fitting into the other tensions that we're experiencing this year?
You know, we are not in isolation here in Michigan. We are looking at the rise of not just gun ownership, but just violence in general across the nation. And for us to think of ourselves and say, well, nothing will happen in our Capitol building. Nothing will happen on the grounds of the Capitol. I just think it's not a matter of if, but when. I believe in the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner myself. But at the end of the day, this is just common sense that if we know and we have seen these tensions escalating all across the state, all across the country, it is our responsibility to ensure that a place that brings all these folks together and that these big decisions are made in those halls of the Capitol, that we can at least ensure a safe workplace. This just doesn't seem that difficult. This doesn't seem that hard. And so it's just been frustrating to continue to see the lack of action, despite all of the rising tensions that we're seeing and that you named.
I know that it's not exactly a normal work schedule in Lansing these days, but how do you intend to approach going to work at the Capitol on Second Amendment days as long as guns are allowed in the building?
You know, I mean, I still have a job to do. The people of Lansing hired me to do a job. They hired me to go in to the Capitol and to introduce bills and to fight for bills that reflect their priorities. And I haven't missed a day of work, and I don't plan on doing so moving forward if I can help it. And so if we are scheduled to go into session on Thursday on open carry day, I will plan to be there. I'd prefer not to be there that day, but as I think most people would not want to go into a workplace full of armed gunmen and women. I think that's just a very human way to look at this. But despite that, I have to show up to work and do the job that I was hired to do.
Sarah Anthony, while we have you on the phone, we've got just another minute, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about how and if your legislative priorities have shifted this year. We've talked before about your plan to provide college access to Michiganders, and the governor has recently moved the plan forward for providing tuition help for our frontline medical workers. What else is on your mind right now, whether it's that economic recovery through higher education or just the numbers in the Lansing area right now for COVID?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked, COVID has shifted everything, but I am still laser focused on workforce development issues, on expanding access to higher education, particularly for folks who, you know, first generation college students, folks who wouldn't have the opportunity to matriculate after high school. I'm still laser focused on that. But we've seen under leadership of this governor that she is also prioritizing expanding opportunities for all. My priorities have continued to be about that as well. So the Future for Frontliners program, I'm one of the legislative champions on that initiative, because I think that COVID has shown many people that a high school diploma just is not enough, and people have been rocked financially, emotionally, you know, after this pandemic. And so I think that my priorities remain the same of making sure that every Michigander has a path to prosperity. And that has looked like additional training and additional education. And so I'll just continue to fight for that.
How have your day-to-day movements been going in this stage of COVID preparedness and lockdown?
You know, the biggest part of the job that I love is actually interacting with my constituents, meeting with people, you know, going to neighborhood association meetings and churches and synagogues. And it's been difficult to connect with people, but we have made it work. We have done more Zoom calls and virtual town hall meetings, and any way that we can still connect to constituents, we have gotten really creative. But there is nothing like that human touch. And so I hope we get to a point, if everyone continues to mask up and do the things we need to be doing, that hopefully we can transition back to a little bit more normal interaction so that we can actually be together, gather together and touch one another in a way that, you know, is from a more human perspective. So I hope we can get to that point soon.
Sarah Anthony represents House District 68. Sarah, it's good talking to you. Take care.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you, April.